speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
39, yeah.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to podcast number 39 from http://watchwithmothers.net. My name's Swineshead, hello. And I'm here with Napoleon. What up?
What up?
And today we're going to be discussing the news. It's a special News Gush episode again because we're both quite short on time.
Yeah, we were going to do we were going to do something else, weren't we? We're going to do a quiz, but I didn't write it, so we're doing one of these again.
Yeah, having complained about having to do these in the first place, we're now resorting to it.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's different, isn't it? If I'd have actually had the time to do the quiz. I would have done it, so we'll do that next week, probably. Either that, or we'll end up doing one of these again, who knows?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, not really. Does anybody care? Do you care?
Don't know. Let's ask people if they care and see if we can hear anything.
Well, no, I don't know. Well, why don't we take a vote on it? It's democracy, isn't it? Do you care? One man, one vote?
I don't care. Do you care?
Well, hold on, let me just write that down. Wait a minute, that's one vote to don't care. I'll just do two columns. Hold on. Okay, right, so that's, you're in that camp, are you?
Yes, I'm definitely in the don't care camp.
Okay, right, and that's one there, right, do you want to ask me?
Do you care?
No, okay, so that's another one in the don't care, so let me top these up.
No, hang on.
What?
We need to ask the listenership. Listenership, do you care? No, I don't think they care.
No, okay, so that's three, so let me just top these up in the column, bear with me. In the don't care column we have... two, three. Okay, have you got that?
Yeah, shall I write that down?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you could be the independent adjudicator for this election, that's all right.
Yeah, got that.
Okay, right, and in the care column, we have zero.
Oh, blimey, what do we have in the don't care column?
We have three in the don't care column.
Well, I think that's open and shut, isn't it?
It's a conclusive election victory to the don't care party. So there we go, we don't care. Lovely.
It's a landslide.
That's democracy.
Is that enough of a preamble, or do you want to talk about how our week's been?
If you want to talk about how your week is, I'm not going to stop you.
I haven't really got much to say, because I haven't really done anything.
Have you got any boils on your ass?
No, not on my ass, no.
No, any carbuncles?
No carbuncles, no.
Cankers.
No cankers. Have you got any eruptions on your skin?
I've got a spot on the back of my leg. Do you know those spots that suddenly turn up for no bloody reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know those ones. Well, I've got one on the back of my thigh, and it's one of them where I put my underpants on and it hurts.
Right, well, we don't want to know about that. Let's move on.
Oh, it hurts.
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chanders. It's Watch With Mothers. It's Watch With Mothers.
Right, so to the first news story of the day. This is a story that came about earlier in the week. Apparently, Cheryl Cole is sick of buff men and she's looking for a fat chap.
Right.
Do you want to know what she said straight from the horse's mouth?
Go on then. I wouldn't really describe her as a horse.
No, that's a figure of speech, but thinking about it.
No, fair enough. You know, each of their own. Go on then.
A guy could be in the Speedos and be ripped to within an inch of his life, and I don't think I'd look again. It would have to be the Bermuda shorts and the pot belly.
Do you believe that?
Well, it sounds like a flippant comment to me.
Well, it does to me. I mean, I've written a little speech, stroke paragraph. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, let's have that.
Okay, here we go. I'm Cheryl Cole, and I want a big fat blob for his boyfriend. I didn't mind if he has a job like, or if he's not got one, as I'm canny rich off of my Girls Aloud money and off of my X Factor money too.
if you've got a hairy ass, a bald head, all shit up your back because you're too fat to wipe your own ass, and smelly feet, I want to go out with you and play with your cock and balls, which are hidden underneath your folds of fat. Oh, and then I've written, oh, I, my ass.
Right, so you...
What do you think?
You definitely don't believe it, do you?
I don't. Call me cynical. I've underlined my ass, by the way. Call me cynical, but I don't believe that for a moment. Cheryl, how old's Cheryl Cole?
Oh, 16?
20, whatever, yeah? Right, yep. You know, your average man in the street goes up to Cheryl Cole, he says, well, Cheryl, do you want to go out with us? And she goes, no, not really, because you're fat and you're bald and you've got no money and you're not a footballer and there's loads of other factors because you're not famous, basically. You won't even get anywhere near her.
Well, what impresses me about the story is that they managed to get a whole news story out of it. One quote.
One quote, yeah. Leading us to go on flights of fancy is the kind of man she'd end up with.
Yeah, it's not really fair on Cheryl, is it? I mean, she says something, you know, just off the cuff. And here we are, two pointless nobodies, discussing it endlessly.
Well, exactly. And well, that's sort of what we do, though, isn't it, really? I mean, that's not our fault. We'd have nothing to talk about otherwise.
I suppose, yeah. So thank you, the Daily Mirror, for this.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot, Daily Mirror. I mean, if you think the kind of people that would actually have access to Cheryl Cole, but with pot bellies... So we're on about famous fat people here, really, aren't we? And the only one I can personally think of is Bob Hoskins.
What about Greg Wallace out of MasterChefs?
Don't know who he is, don't care.
What about... Michael Winner's probably got a pot belly.
Michael Winner... Would Cheryl Cole go out with Michael Winner? I want Michael Winner. I want some dinner.
He's got lots of money.
He has got lots of money, admittedly. Hold on a minute. I'll just write Michael Winner. So, in the plus side, he's got money.
Yep.
He's got a pot belly. That's a plus side. Pot belly. I've written that down. So, in the negative side, what has he got?
I can't think of any cons. He's probably not very good with a football.
Not good with a football, but then, you know, she has been bitten already by that particular spider.
She's been bitten by a spider.
She's been bitten by a football spider.
Yeah, but he's good with the football.
She got into the web of Ashley Cole's football spidery, found out there was more spiders in there than she originally imagined. Is that right?
It would be more flies, wouldn't it, to stretch that metaphor?
Cheryl Cole is a fly who wants to go out with Michael Winner or Bob Hoskins, but currently she's caught in a web full of other flies spun by Ashley Cole, the football spider. Is that right?
Hello, I am Eros Abbott from the Eros Abbott and Laughter Show. I am here to say, listen to what Cherry the Man is, or I will kill you, me, Eros Abbott. Oh my, I love a party. With a happy atmosphere. Thank you.
Right, so now we...
Go compare. When you're living in the house, you need to compare something. Do those adverts annoy you as much as they annoy me?
Even more so now, yeah.
With your insurance, you can go on holiday. And when you thank your stars that you went to go compare. They're horrible, aren't they?
They are horrible, and they sometimes feature during daytime TV, specifically Jeremy Kyle.
In fact, mostly during rubbish such as Jeremy Kyle, and Trisha, to be fair, and The Right Stuff. Anything on daytime, like you said, like Loose Women.
Yeah, all that crap. Did you see Jeremy Kyle? Was it Wednesday or maybe Thursday?
No.
Well, what happened was this, and this will blow your mind.
Okay, I'm preparing my mind to be blown.
Maybe wrap your head in some sellotape or some form of padding so that if it does explode.
Right. Hold on. Well, I've got a pad. I've got a pad over the top of my head.
Yeah, just hold it over the top of your head.
Okay, right.
Right. So this is what happened.
Ready?
You know Coronation Street?
Lift off.
Coronation Street?
Yes, Coronation Street.
That's fictional, yeah?
Yes.
Jeremy Kyle is real.
Right.
So what they did was they put fictional people in Jeremy Kyle, with Jeremy Kyle and the audience treating them as though they were real, even though they're fictional. So, what do you make of that? Have you got a speech about it?
I have got a speech, yes. Right, shall I read it out now?
Yeah.
Right. Many would say that watching the Jeremy Kyle show is preferable to, say, licking a dog's arsehole. But let's not be too hasty here. There are practical advantages to licking a dog's arsehole, not least of which is blindness. Now, I'm not saying going blind is a better option than watching Jeremy Kyle, but it's certainly something to bear in mind. Dog's arseholes. And I've underlined that. Ooh.
How's your mind?
Well, it's not blown. I sort of see what they did. So, the actors were reading scripts, were they?
No, they were improvising, I believe.
It was improv. It was a bit of improv.
It was a hard watch, I'll give it that.
Right, so it was like it was off of the 80s. Did it have Josie Lawrence in it?
No, there was no Paul Merton, no Richard Branch on the piano.
Was that big, fat, sweaty Canadian man, was he there?
Oh, what was his name? Mike McShane.
Mike McShane, yeah. I think the father of Ian McShane. TV's Lovejoy.
Could you talk about abortion, but do it in march form? So Richard Branch will play you a march tune on the piano.
And it's... who are you? Ryan Stiles?
Is he the tall one with a big nose?
The Canadian one with the duck mouth. I'm Richard Branch. Are you going to do it?
I'd better not do it about abortion, had I?
Well, don't do it about abortion, obviously. What's a nice Jeremy Kyle subject? Adultery?
Yeah, let's do it about adultery. Am I doing the march, am I?
Yeah, you can do the march if you like.
I'm not cut out for this.
That was rubbish.
Well, it was, you know, spontaneous. I wasn't prepared.
Well, yeah, but you could make something up.
What, I'm expected just to improvise?
Yeah, well, that's what they do on the Jeremy Kyle show. They go, well, hang on, should we have a hoedown?
Oh, that's disgusting.
Should we have a hoedown? Oh, do you remember that on Have I Got News For You? Let's have a hoedown. And you think, oh.
What?
Oh, please, no.
What, Hislop and Merton having a hoedown?
Having a hoedown. Not a hose, not as in American hose from America.
Was this back when Angus Dayton was presenting it, was it?
No, Angus Dayton didn't present that. He presented the other one.
What, with Hislop and Merton?
No, not with Hislop and Merton. No, that's your news is everybody's news. This is, have I got clues? What do you call it? The Clive Anderson's.
Where were we? So, yeah, what do you think about...
Jeremy Kyle!
What do you think about Coronation Street? Well, what do you think about fictional characters appearing on reality shows? I think that's a bit
odd. I quite like the idea.
So you think that's a good idea going forward, do you?
Yeah, what's another live show that's on the television? Well, not so much live, but recorded, but in front of a live studio audience featuring real people. Kilroy?
The Time, the Place, Kilroy, yeah.
The Time, the Place. Okay, so you got Kilroy. He's there saying, today we're going to talk... Today we're going to talk about... What did Kilroy used to talk about?
No,
beans?
He used to...
Baked beans?
He used to come on at the beginning, didn't he? Or when he was recruiting people for the next show and say, you're £6,000 in debt. You can't get a job. Your house
that's
is
right.
about to be repossessed. So that sort of thing. Getting in debt.
Right. Okay, so he comes on, he says... You've looked in your cupboards. There's nothing there. She's stolen your beans. Like that, yeah?
Exactly.
And then you pan round and the entire audience is, I don't know, the audience of... Question Time? No. Are Question Time people fictional?
What, the ones on the panel?
Yeah. John Gummer,
some
Margaret Thatcher.
Some of them are.
Right, so you've got Margaret Thatcher, Kilroy, your Gummer. Who's that one that fed meat to his daughter? He fed a big piece of meat to his daughter.
That was Gummer.
So you've got Gummer, you've got the other Gummer, Margaret Thatcher, Dimbledee, and Kilroy. Where's this going?
Welcome to the Watch with Mothers Midiamble. Is that all right?
That's right, listeners. It's the Midiamble time. Feet up. Get out your rich teas, pour yourself a nice cup of tea. Stretch it out. Take the weight off your plate and rest those bunions.
Oh, that's better. Ah, just take my underpants off.
Don't do that, please.
All right, hold on. Okay, right, yeah, carry on. What are we doing now? What is this?
We are doing one of our favourite features, one that's certainly not grown stale and that we're not running out of content for. This is the underwhelming celebrity encounter slot. You're not keen then, are you?
Carry on. Yeah, I'm all for audience interaction.
Actually, audience, while we are interacting, could you send us some more in, please? Because the pot's getting empty. So if you've ever met...
Oh, yeah!
It's a motorbike outside. Sorry about that.
Anyway,
listeners, if you've met a celebrity and the situation... the person themselves was underwhelming... then let us know about it.
Yeah, by all means, if you'd like to put a cheque for £20 made out to Watch With Mothers, that would be very grateful if you could pop that in with your suggestion. Is that right?
Yeah, put that in your email somehow.
Or just send us a cheque. If you just do the envelope out to Watch With Mothers at London, London SEW3EBBB.
Yeah.
You see?
Or just send me an email at swineshead@epicwinmedia.com.
We could set up some kind of online donation thing. I say donation, it's not really, it's greed, isn't it, more than anything else?
Well, it does cost sort of mental. There's a mental cost for me sorting out the site daily.
What we're saying is we're not very happy about the fact you have money in your bank accounts when, quite frankly, you could be in ours.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, so if you could just send us all your money and whatever these celebrity things are, we'll be very happy. Thank you very much. Well, I suppose we better go on with it then, have we?
Yeah, I was about to say, should we get on with it? So, got one here from Andrew McDonald.
Hello, Andrew.
I'm not sure if that's someone I know or not, because there's probably
a man with an actual name, a man with a sensible internet name, as opposed to all these stupid names, these pseudonyms people hide behind, underneath.
It could be someone I went to university with, but I'm not sure.
Did he have a large arse?
Why is that relevant in any way?
I'm trying to pinpoint whether this was the man you went to university with.
Well, how can I tell from the email if he's got a large
arse? Did you go to university with a man called Andrew McDonald who had a really large arse?
I never saw his arse.
What do you mean you never saw his arse? Well, so you were friends with somebody at university and not once did you walk behind the man?
I said I knew him at university. I wasn't strictly friends with him.
So you never followed him down a corridor, for instance, and thought, oh, the size of that arse?
That never happened, no.
Yeah, it did. Don't lie.
Anyway, if it is you, nice to hear from you, Andrew. And,
hello!
Here's his underwhelming celebrity.
Go on, then.
He writes, when I was young, my mum heard that Andrew O'Connor, was appearing at a theatre in town, so she took me to the backstage area to try and get his autograph. In brackets, I don't know why. I don't have anyone else's autograph. Anyway, we waited ages in the cold and he never appeared. That was pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Do you remember Andrew O'Connor?
I do. I think he works for Derren Brown, the Illusion Man.
Right.
These days. But before that, he was on some kids' TV shows. He always did a John Cleese impression, didn't he?
That's right. Can you do an impression of John Cleese?
Yes, no problem, Sybil. I'm doing it now.
Basil!
Mm.
Basil! That's more of a parrot, isn't it?
Well, that was Sybil.
Basil! No, you said that's too low. Basil! No, that's even lower. No, I can't do one.
Right, but Andrew O'Connor, can you remember him?
I can remember Andrew O'Connor. Wasn't Andrew O'Connor, didn't he have dark hair, a kind of rat-like face? Is that right?
I wouldn't say he was rattish, no.
He was a bit ratty. In fact, do you remember, I'll tell you another one who was around at the same time. Martin Daniels, remember him?
Paul Daniels' son.
Paul Daniels' boy. So, if you add those two together, I'm definitely underwhelmed.
I'm massively underwhelmed, especially as he didn't even meet him.
So he never even met him. So he never met Andrew O'Connor. He never met Martin Daniels. He never got their autograph, either of them. Not even Martin Daniels. Have you got anybody's autograph?
Have I got anyone's autograph? Yeah, I think I've got a couple of signed books. Does that count?
Actually, I've got a signed book, which I've never really forgiven your brother for.
Why?
Well, I lent him a Bill Bryson book a fair few years ago now, and he had it for ages, and I got it back, and inside the front cover it said, Dear Ben, Merry Christmas, Bill Bryson.
Right.
Yeah, did he get my permission to deface my property with some author's signature?
It was actually your book in the first place.
Yeah, it was my book, and he went to a book signing and had my book signed by Bill Bryson.
Well, in that case, that's nice, isn't it?
Well, like I say, did he ask permission before he defaced my property?
The whole point of getting your book signed is that you get to meet the celebrity, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, I didn't even get that. All I got was a Dear Ben, Merry Christmas from Bill Bryson. And the point was, your brother never even told me about it. So it was, in fact, probably 2 years later that I happened to think, oh, I'll read that thing again. And there it was. I didn't even know about it. He didn't tell me.
Well, my middle brother once, at Christmas time, I suspected he'd got me four of my favourite albums on cassette.
Which would have been Cheer Heart Attack, I assume, News of the World, Queen's Greatest Hits 2, and what else?
Well, at the time, no, it would have been...
Nights of the Opera, I assume.
All right, we'll go with that.
Okay, right.
When I opened them, I discovered that he'd actually taken four C90s and recorded me four of his albums, actually C60s, and recorded me four of his albums directly onto four blank tapes, which I could have done myself.
What a cheap-ass present, that is. That's terrible.
Yeah, I remember storming out of the room.
Yeah, I should imagine, probably in a right funk, and no doubt everyone, ooh, the sport little brat.
Precisely.
Yeah, whereas, in fact, mate, I'm on your side here. You were the injured party, my friend.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's quite traumatic to put a young man through that sort of
thing. Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, it's very similar. My uncle, his beloved sister, 1 year, got him three recordable C90 cassettes for his Christmas present.
That was the main present?
Yep, that was it. That was the only Christmas present he got that year. That's from his sister, who at the time was in her 30s.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That rift has never healed in my family. It's like a gaping chasm. It is brought up year in, year out, especially around Christmas time.
That is massively skinflinty. Maybe instead of underwhelming celebrity encounters, we could have...
What, my skinflint family?
Yes, family skinflints.
Yeah, in fact, that could be a brand new feature. My skinflint family. Oh, it's my skinflint family. They're a bunch of skinflint bastards. Like that.
Let's do it then. If you could write to us, listeners, with your most amusing skinflint family anecdote to swineshead@epicwinmedia.com.
Lovely. And don't forget to put the £20 cheque in the post.
Is that the end of the midiamble?
No, because it's time again for my new feature. Do you remember what my new feature was?
It's got something to do with you asking me questions.
That's right. It's my proverbs feature, where we either prove or disprove the worthiness of oldie English proverbs. Are you ready for your next batch of proverbs?
Yeah, let me just light my fuck.
Okay, well, you know, it's not very professional. Mind you, admittedly, this hasn't been this one.
What, this particular podcast?
This podcast. If you're listening to this, you know, I'd have skipped this. Oh, we don't listen to this, it's rubbish. Anyway, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Right, proverb number one. A thing of beauty is a joy forever.
A thing of beauty is a joy forever. That's obviously untrue, isn't it?
Why?
Well, say you married the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
So we're talking Bea Arthur, Thorod, that type of woman, Nerys Hughes?
Well, we're edging into that territory because in their later years, you know, while they were still sparkling, beautiful people, they weren't necessarily beautiful on the outside, were they?
Okay. No, they weren't. No, I'll agree with you there. Though Thorod did maintain charm up to the end.
Hmm.
But are they joys forever? It's not that they're beautiful forever. It's a thing of beauty is a joy forever.
A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Well, no, it's not, because obviously if you take a good-looking woman...
Okay.
I'm going to go sexist if I carry on this.
Such as Nerys Hughes?
Well, Nero Hughes is a beauty, yeah, but what I'm saying is she's not going to be, on a superficial level, a joy forever, is she? Because she's going to die at some point.
No, you're right. So, I mean, really, you can sum that up. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. You could, in fact, say, well, yeah, it is, until you get fed up with it or it dies.
Yeah, until it dies, yeah.
Yeah, or you get fed up with it.
So let's change that to a thing of beauty is a joy until it dies.
Or you get fed up with it.
Yeah.
Okay, number two. Clothes maketh the man.
Well, everyone remembers Arnold Schwarzenegger at the beginning of Terminator. He had no
clothes. Indeed, he was nude.
And he wasn't a man, he was a cyborgian.
Well, that then means nothing.
Right, shall I rethink that?
Yeah, clothes maketh the man. Okay, right, let me have a think. Do you remember Bernard Montgomery? Monty?
From what?
From I Was Monty's Double, the film.
No.
It was set during some conflict in the middle of last century. I can't exactly remember the details. But anyway, Monty beat the Germans. Not beat off the Germans, you know, none of that. It wasn't one of them sort of films. He beat the Germans. You remember?
Was he dressed like a tramp?
He wasn't dressed like a tramp. No, he was dressed like Monty in I Was Monty's Double.
Well, it's obviously not true, this, anyway, because if your veins were made out of, I don't know,
clothes.
Cotton, then you might be made out of... out of clothes.
Actually, that's much better than my Monty thing.
Yeah, because it's not like your brain's a collection of buttons.
Well, no, exactly. So if your brains, your organs, your particulars were made from trousers, corduroys, bits of haberdashery, that kind of business, well, you wouldn't function as a person. You'd be like Mr. Soft on the Mr. Soft adverts. Remember them?
Yeah, exactly. You'd have...
Mr. Soft, why are your mints so clean? Or something or other.
They gave you diarrhoea if you ate too many of them.
What, they gave you diarrhoea?
Cool mints, any cool mint. They have a laxative...
No, soft mints, not cool mints, not soft, not cool mints.
Yeah, but
soft
mints. You can get cool soft mints.
Can you?
Yeah, so we've got another one of these proverbs.
Are they the ones that contain sorbitol, that stuff that makes you shit yourself?
That could be it, yeah, laxative.
Oh, lovely. Right, okay, well, we've disproved that anyway. The final one, you ready?
Yes.
Empty vessels make the most noise.
Empty vessels. Well, I suppose a drum is an empty vessel.
Yeah, but does that make as much noise as a ocean-going liner that's just pulled its fog on and gone... Does it?
Well, I suppose this really is a metaphor, isn't it?
That ain't an empty vessel, though, is it? That's definitely a vessel, and that's made a shitload of noise.
Yeah, it's probably quite full of stuff.
Yeah, so vessels with things on them make a lot more noise than an empty... I mean, say you had... Well, let's go back to the olden days. The Titanic, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it very well, yeah.
Can you hear me, Mrs. making a cuppa in the background?
Yeah, it's...
You only get this kind of professionalism on watchwithmothers.net. So, right, you've got the Titanic there. You got that. Is that in your mind?
Yeah, it's in my mind, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to sing the song?
What's the song? Oh, my heart will go on.
Wherever you are. That one. Celine, what's her face?
Well, you've sung it now, so yeah, what's
right,
the next
okay.
bit?
So you've got the Titanic there, and you've got its sister ship, the Olympic, next door.
Right.
Right, okay, so you've got the two ships side by side. The Olympic is full of people. Yeah,
well,
are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you, yeah.
The Titanic, however, has nobody aboard. It's a ghost ship. There's nobody on there. Okay, you with me?
Yeah, but it wasn't a ghost ship, was it?
Yeah, but no, for the purposes of this, it is. It's there's nobody there. There's nobody on it.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you, yeah.
Okay, right. So the Olympic, full of people, goes... blows its horn. What's the Titanic do?
It won't make any noise, will it?
No. And why is that?
Because an empty vessel can't make any noises.
Ta-da! Well, there we go. That's that disproved.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes? Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will watch with mothers.
Right, listeners, we're on to our last news story of this week. And this is the shocking news, actually, quite shocking, that...
I was shocked.
Were you shocked to your very core?
I was, yeah. When I read it on watchwithmothers.net, which is an internet website, I was shocked. My hair stood on end. Well, what's left of it.
Where would you find this internet website?
On the internet. If you go to the teletext button on your computer.
Usually the red which button.
Usually the red button. If you press that, which will bring up teletext, which is the Information Super Bridal Way, I think it's called, you type into the address box watchwithmothers.net and you press the enter button, which is the large circular button on your keyboard. You'll get to us. Well, yeah, you will. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like from off of the future, but in the present.
What up?
What up?
So, the story goes that Skins, you know, popular TV
Skids.
Show Skins.
Yes, I remember that, yes. It's a bit like a dirty Grange Hill.
Yeah, Skids.
Yeah, Skids.
So, Skids are currently recruiting for new employees. And okay. In a Watch With Mothers exclusive...
Which you got off of another site.
No, actually, someone sent me it in Twitters.
Oh, right, fair enough. An exclusive. Was it a shocker?
It was a shocker. I fell off my seat, but that actually happens about 3 times a day.
Well, that's because you're usually drunk.
I don't drink, as you know. But,
here we go.
So, let me put this to you. Age discrimination in the workplace.
Illegal in Great Britain.
No place for it.
And illegal. Let's not forget that.
Then bear this in mind. Bear that in mind as I read you a very short extract from their recruitment page for actors for the TV show Skins.
Okay.
To audition, you must have been born between the 1st of July 1992 and the 1st of July 1994.
Ooh.
I'm speechless again.
I think they'll find that falls foul of the UK age discrimination laws.
Well, I used to work in a job where I had to check job adverts.
Right.
This is fascinating. For words that had discriminatory leanings. So you weren't allowed to use words like dynamic or go-getting or any of that business because...
Yeah, or old fart. No old farts need apply.
That was a bit of a no-no as well.
Yeah. So you couldn't, you couldn't put secretary required for leading internet teletext website, must have gigantic tits, be 24 years old, female and preferably from Sweden, with a knowledge of dirty things.
No, you probably wouldn't get away with most of that.
You couldn't have that, could you?
Bits of it.
Okay, what, the big tits bit?
The secretary.
Secretary, right, fair dues. All the rest is a no-no, is it?
Largely no-nonious, yeah.
That'll be the EEC.
So, what they're doing here, is that above board? 1992?
No, I don't think it's above board. I mean, I assume what they're doing here is, it's a show about teenagers having sex, isn't it? Having sex and taking drugs. That's the basic premise of Skids. Is that right?
That's mainly what happens. But what I'm saying to you is that I've been a teenager and I've had sex, I think.
I have as well. Loads.
I think I've had sex. I've definitely taken a couple of drugs.
Yeah, I've done that, yeah. That was fun, actually. Oh, sorry, it was terrible and a gateway to other things. Worse things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that would mean that we would be able to bring so much to the role that the young and innocent mind of someone born in 1992...
1992? That's the future! From off of the past!
It sort of is the future by way of the past, isn't it?
Yeah, do you want to know what I've written?
Yeah, go on.
These young people with their youth, who do they think they are? How dare they go on the telly with their shiny faces, their iPods and their underpants? What about me? I want to go on Skids with my bad teeth, fat belly, balding head and all shit marks up my underpants. Bastards! And I've underlined bastards.
Hello there, you're listening to the smooth and groovy signs of Watch With Mothers, here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep, or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mothers.
And that brings us to the end of another quite brief, but, well, I think it was an enjoyable podcast.
Personally, I'd like to issue an apology for the poor quality of this podcast. If any of you are still listening to it, we usually record these on a Wednesday, don't we? Either a Wednesday or a Tuesday.
Wednesday or Thursday, usually.
Wednesday or a Thursday. That's when we're still in the thrall, in the miserable drudgery of the working world, where we're obviously clearly more focused than we are today. We're recording this for once on a Friday. I think that's the day you get the Friday feeling, isn't it, really? Hence the name.
Yeah, it's a crunchy fried egg day, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. So I'm full of crunchy. You're probably piled up to the back end with crunchy. I'm not saying you've got crunchies up your arsehole, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, the reason this is, well, for want of a better word, shit, is because I think our minds are focused on the weekend, aren't they?
Well, it's not shit. It's one of the best ones we've done.
Well, so. I don't agree with you, but, well, you know, what's that proverb?
I totally disagree with you.
Different strokes for different folks. That's not really a proverb, is it? That's a saying.
I totally disagree with that.
Well, okay. Well, fair enough. Well, in that case, you're shit, and I'm Shinola.
No, I'm tomato. You're tomato.
Well, all right. Now, hold on. You're arse, and I'm elbow.
Well, oh. Right, you win that one.
Thank you very much.
But the war continues.
You could have said potato.
Oh, of course.
Thank you very much. So, well, I suppose it only remains for us to say goodbye now, doesn't it? It was very brief. Again, I apologise. But from my end, I'm signing off right now.
I'm going to carry on for a bit.
Okay, you go on. Well, that means I'm not signing off then, does it?
All right, let's sign off.
You've just negated my sign off. What I was doing there was I was not going to do no more. I was not neither going to do no more, not never. Not today, anyway. However, you saying that, you've made me say something. And now saying more stuff.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What's with mothers? What's with mothers? We'll be right back.